So now we move on to ayah number 29. Say, now the truth has come from your Lord. Let those who wish to believe in it do so, and let those who wish to reject it do so. We have prepared a fire for the wrongdoers that will envelop them from all sides. If they call for relief, they will be relieved with water like molten metal, scalding their faces. What a terrible drink, what a painful resting place. Should I go on?
Okay. No, I think this ayah reminds me of a totally different perspective. I just keep imagining because of the enormity of this Dajjal. Mm-hmm. The real question that we better understand is that, is there a one way of looking at the Dajjal? No, there isn't. It's not that impossible that the Dajjal will be the, I'm just giving you a perspective here, that the Dajjal would be the biggest alim of Quran, and he will be actually calling people to the Quran. Mm-hmm. And he will actually have a very firm grip of not just the Quran, but the message of the Quran as well. And he will be deceiving people, specifically Muslims, from the Quran. Mm-hmm. And this is something which we never think about, not especially not as Muslims. We just think he's going to be talking about the Torah or the Injil or that too, in a twisted way. But why are we so closed on the fact that this Dajjal will be in the name of Quran? Why is that such a hard thing to swallow when we know that Muslims are going to be running towards him, and there is a certain movement towards a unified religion already going on in the name of humanitarianism and so on, and in the name of love and compassion and and you know they take it out from all of those books, not out as in they omit it. They bring forth the concept of love from the monotheistic books, and calling God as the God of mercy and God of love and care and compassion. And this could be a very good handle for to call to the hearts of all of the people in the world. I mean, there is not even a single hadith about a grand scheme of the Dajjal oppressing the human beings. He will be oppressing some certain people who will be the believers who are going against him. But in a general perspective, the Dajjal is not a tyrant. Mm. If anything, he is a giver of wealth. He is he's providing sustenance. He's making it rain and he's making crops grow. So on and so forth. This is a philanthropist for in a certain way of psychology. This man is a helper.
Yeah.
This man is an apparently a merciful man. Hmm. Only a merciful man is going to do all of that. Make it barren land grow crops. I mean, you have to understand this is a little too out there. It's too visible. We just don't want to look at it. Otherwise, everything is pointing towards that psychology of the human being at that time. And that psychology has to be looked into of the regular believers of the Dajjal. Those believers, I mean, it's too far-fetched to believe that the majority of the planet is running towards a tyrant. It has never happened.
Yeah.
Why would that all of a sudden change the psychology of the human beings? Yeah. And if it did, then this is not the message for him. The Quran is the message for the regular human being. So that means the psychology of the human being is never going to change, because the Quran is actually addressing that psychology.
Yeah.
So why are we actually assuming that the Dajjal is going to go against the psychology of the human being? So if he has to be the greatest Dajjal ever, then it should be really factored into account that the Dajjal is going to use the Quran, literally.
And there are already like many versions of the Quran people have presented where they have taken out certain surahs and certain chapters. So, then they say they're like, now this is better, you know.
Even if they don't admit it, they actually subside those ayahs.
Yeah.
Even current ulamas are saying that certain ayahs were just for the Prophet.
Yeah.
Certain ayahs were for the certain time.
Yeah.
And, you know, so on. Without naming anybody, it's a general demand of the current human psychology, that the Quran does not fit the current norms of the way we want things. And this is a very big door that we're trying to open here. Instead of us tuning our psychology towards the Quran, we want the Quran to change its psychology towards us. And this is something which could very well be the handle of Dajjal to utilize this. I'm not saying it is, because if I can think about it, Dajjal is going to supersede that thought process as well. But that's our job as Muslims, to actually try and put as many options on the table. And that's our duty. I mean, I know I won't be able to pinpoint the exact mechanism of how Dajjal is going to be, otherwise it's not a Dajjal. However, us unveiling all of those algorithms that lead towards a certain thought process is going to delay the Dajjal's coming. Because if somebody is like me talking about this, that means, you know, some people will be listening and some people will be actually tuning the psychology again. And that's one person less from his army.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, not going into the philosophy of this, but this is something which is a little too obvious for any sensible man to think that, why is Dajjal not addressing 3 billion people's book? And by that time, maybe 5 billion. The Muslims. I'm talking about the Quran here. And this is why, and again, even the Bible, the whole book is filled with the documentation of Antichrist. So this is not at all, this should be on the table all the time, that the Dajjal is reciting the ayahs of Quran and actually telling them. Because, you know, whenever I read this ayah, I'm thinking, is this something which the Dajjal is going to be saying, that this is that murky oil? Do you want to drink from this, even though I'm giving you the water from Kausar, or even better, the real water of Jannah? And this is what the Prophet himself said, that his hell will be carrying two rivers. One is the river of fire, and one is the river of water. Sweet heaven of his hand will be the hell, and his hell will be heaven. So, the very concept of him trying to persuade the Muslims to the Quran should be in a part of our arsenal, a psychological arsenal, that yes, I expect this, and I have to be really close to the actual people who are the scholars of the Quran, who actually are preparing for a certain system of dawah, so that, you know, this sort of event gets as delayed as possible, or whatever we can do. Because one man just opening the Quran and just trying to get his meaning out of it requires any kind of a scholar to just, you know, do whatever he can with them. So understand where I'm coming from. I want this factor to be included in our preparation. That if I read the ayah, and if the Dajjal is actually trying to convince me, and I'm holding the Quran, why would he not have the power to understand the Quran as much as he wants to? Or maybe he understands it, but he's just making me deviate from it through the very ayahs.
Yeah.
Because if I have to talk to a Christian to try and understand how he wants, or how he can be, you know, brought to the right message, I need to understand his book. I can't just give a Quran to a Christian and say, hey, you know what, this is how you should look at the message.
Yeah.
I need to give him through his own book of why.
His own book.
Yeah.
To convince him, yeah.
So why wouldn't Dajjal be doing that?
Yeah.
Why will Dajjal be so blatantly against the Quran and still have all the people, going towards his message?
Yeah, and I remember, like, even nowadays, we have a few people, I'm not going to name them, but they're, like, getting really famous, and their followership is, like, getting bigger and bigger, who are translating Quran directly from the dictionary, altogether rejecting all the hadith. And then they say that the book is revealed to me, us, for human beings, so we are to interpret it. And if you listen to their interpretation, it's completely different than how the Muslim Ummah or our scholars understand. So he like, even he changes who the Bani Israel really are. He even changes the meaning of who the people are, those that will get, are rewarded by Allah, and those that got the punishment from Allah. He changes the meanings. He even changes the meaning of the Kaaba or its placement on the earth and everything. And he's got a big, massive followership now. So if you listen to his Quran, so he says he's the same Quran. And he's like well-versed. He has a very firm grip on complete Quran from his memory. And if you listen to his Quran, it's completely a different thing. So if another man more intelligent than him will come, of course, they can put whatever meaning they want to.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be part of his trick. It has to be. And it, otherwise, it's not possible. See, when the Prophet said that in his dream that he's mirroring Isa al-Islam, yeah. Of course, Isa al-Islam is going to be narrating the Quran to us.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't Dajjal be narrating the Quran to us? If the Prophet says your Lord is now one-eyed, that means he's actually going to claim to be the Lord.
Yeah.
And no Muslim can actually believe a Lord without the Quran.
Probably he's going to be the first one to say this. Your Lord is not the one-eyed.
Yeah, he's going to start with that. Yeah. Whatever we know is something which he's going to utilize, not something which we already counter.
Yeah.
Whatever we actually agree upon is something which he's going to start. This is his first step.
Okay. So, indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds, indeed, we will not allow to be lost the reward of any who did well in deeds.
Yeah. So, this is his claim against Allah's claim here.
Hmm.
Literally the same claim. See, because this is the same argument. Any man is going to be claiming God is going to say.
Wow, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I remember this minister of Balochistan, that lady.
Mm-hmm.
And we better narrate this. And she said that my father and my grandfather and my uncle, my father's brothers, mm-hmm. all were alim of Quran and the top ulama at that time. But at that time, there was a plague in Balochistan.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she's still alive right now, this minister. Mm-hmm. I think Zubaydah or someone. I don't remember mm-hmm. her name. And she said that, and they were told to be quarantined. And then the Qadianis came in and they said, if you convert to Qadianism, there's not going to be a plague that's going to hurt you because that's something which we can actually prove to you. And she said, all four of them converted to Qadianism and all four of them died from that plague in that very plague.
Wow.
See, now, when I heard this, I'm like, okay, hold on. Where is this promise coming from? And how come people believe in the promise? Because people want to believe in some promise.
Some promise, some hope, yeah.
So, if there is hopelessness, anybody who's going to be giving him hope, and this is the ayah, which is ayah number 30.
Yeah.
Which say, indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds, indeed, we will not allow to be, that those deeds to be lost.
Yeah.
So, this is something which is hope.
Yeah,
this is exactly what you know the previous ayah is saying as well. So first, the hadith says the land will go barren. There will be no rains. Famine and will prevail on the planet.
Mm.
People will be helpless. This corona has actually shaken up half most of the world.
Yeah,
imagine if there's no, you know, agriculture. Yeah. All of a sudden. People will be dying and this guy is going to be coming and giving them life like Isa al-Islam. Yeah. And then, why wouldn't people be actually jumping towards his religion?
Yeah. Those will have gardens of perpetual residence. Wait, I'm going to read from Abdul Halim. They will have gardens of lasting bliss graced with flowing streams. There they will be adorned with bracelets of gold. There they will wear green garments of fine silk and brocade. There they will be comfortably seated on soft chairs. What a blessed reward. What a pleasant resting place.
Yep.
Tell them the parable of two men. For one of them we made two gardens of grape vines, surrounded them with the date palms, and put cornfields in between.
Yeah, I these two ayahs, yeah, next one is, you know, about the river flowing, gushing between, within the, them, these gardens.
Yeah.
I just get a little astonished by the kind of details Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us about what was surrounding the gardens and what was between the gardens. It is not a, I mean, there is no coincidence in the Quran. There's not even an alphabet which is over and above a certain meaning.
SubhanAllah. Now, here we're talking about the Dajjal.
Yeah.
And then we're reading the description of the Jannah. And then we have same ahadith, exactly same ahadith about the Dajjal's Jannah and Jahannam.
Yeah. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the actual architecture of the gardens of grapevines.
Yeah.
And surrounded by palm trees and then separated by fields of crop. And then a river gushing through boats. I don't know. I just get baffled when I get to these sort of details that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Because see, in the commentary of Surah Kahf, no one has actually given us any detail as to why did Allah give this kind of detail.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have just said,
he gave garden to two people.
Gardens, and it was green, and you know, there was, you know, abundance of fruit and everything. Why is the whole architecture given here? It is something which raises a lot of curiosity in me of why does this sort of specificity, this detail. I mean, I can see the map.
Yeah.
You read this and you can see the gardens.
Yeah, like each of the two gardens produced its fruit and did not fall short thereof in anything, and we caused to gush forth within them a river.
Yeah, so let's just go further.
And so he had abundant fruit one day. While talking to his friend, he said, "I have more wealth and a larger following than you." And he entered his garden while he was unjust to himself. He said, "I do not think that this will perish ever."
This is a statement of arrogance. Any human being with current psychology of the human beings cannot possibly say that. We don't think like that. Current human beings don't think like that unless some promise.
Yeah, we're all scared of loss all the time.
Yeah, that's our current psychology.
Yeah.
Even atheists, they know nothing's forever here.
Yeah.
How come this guy is saying this? He's sitting on a promise.
Yeah.
You know, saying some godly promise, some godly promise who's actually
saying. But he says, "I do not think." You see, ma avannu.
Yeah.
So it means like he says that I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think this will ever perish.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, I know
it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Regularly arrogant people think that their company is not going to go bankrupt or stuff like that. But still, this is not a company.
Yeah.
This is a garden.
Yeah.
Which is dependent on a million factors, specifically the weather, which nobody controls.
Yeah.
Unless somebody is controlling the weather.
And they have promised them something.
Yeah. A guy who is controlling the weather can promise a garden not to be perished.
Yeah. Wow.
And understand this. This is a time, and the Dajjal is going to come in on barren lands and he's going to grow gardens over them. So anybody who's going to be following the Dajjal will have to say this, that I don't think this will ever perish now. Ever. Abada. That's the word here. Abada.
Never, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is not a human statement unless he's following something which he thinks is a godly.
Yeah.
So it's going to be literally the statement of every follower of the Dajjal. Literally. Ma'azun.
Wow. Because Allah's promise is that the garden of Jannah will never perish.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Every follower of the Dajjal is going to think that, yes, here you go.
Never going to perish.
He's never.
Yeah.
Because it draws from a dead, barren land. Because he controls the clouds, he controls the rains, he controls everything.
Wow, that's a completely different perspective, SubhanAllah. Okay, so I do not think this will ever perish or that the last hour will ever come. Even if I were to be taken back to my Lord, I would certainly find something even better there.
Yeah. Because I just got a symbol of the heaven here.
Yeah. So
I just jumped on his, you know, right hand of Jannah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go find even a better return. Any follower of the Dajjal is going to have these two statements back to back.
Wow. Okay. His companion retorted, Have you no faith in him who created you from dust, from a small drop of fluid, then shaped you into a man? But as for me, he is Allah, my Lord, and I do not associate with my Lord anyone.
This opens a little door as if Dajjal is not going to be able to, you know,
fully convince people of
being No, there's going to be, could be, but it seems as if Dajjal is not going to be able to make barren women bear children. He's going to be able to do a lot of things. It seems as if he's not going to be able to do a certain thing, which is, you know, specifically to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this might just be one of those
things that the believers
will actually be falling back on, that, you know what, why don't you? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Nimrud.
Yeah, exactly.
That, you know, if you can produce life,
yeah,
then why don't you make the sun come from the west?
Yeah, if you are the god, yeah, why can't you?
Yeah, and I practically believe that, you know, wow, Nimrud was also doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He was trying to raise from the dead, and even though the commentary says something else, because he just let go of a prisoner who was sentenced to death, he said, I gave him life. But that's in the commentary.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For all we know, he was
doing something
Dajjali.
So he gave him, tested him through something that he knew Ibrahim alayhi salam that he can't do.
Yeah.
And
this is another argument as to what believers can say to Dajjal, that, you know what, you can do this, you can make it rain, okay, why don't you make the sun come from the west?
Yeah.
And by the way, that hadith actually does signify he won't be able to do that, because he's going to be stopping time, right? He's not going to be reversing time. If he makes the sun go in reverse, he will be reversing time.
Yeah.
So that's another argument a Muslim can give to Dajjal, that, you know what, why don't you make the sun rise from the west?
No, it does not necessarily reverse the time. It will only reverse the cycle of the day. Sun is rising from the west.
Yeah, but we have a certain lock on his time. His first day is going to be for a year, right? Yeah, but what I'm saying is, through the Quran, we can see of whoever has claimed to be God, of whatever God's arguments were. You know, saying, or maybe he can reverse it. Maybe he can. And he's going to use that as an argument. See, Ibrahim said that Nimrod cannot do that. Look at me doing this. That's why I'm your Lord. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, the Quran itself has so many ways the Quran is speaking to us as to how we should be able to deal with these sort of situations.
Okay, if only when you entered your garden, you had said, this is God's will. There is no power not given by God. Although you see, I have less wealth and offspring than you.
Which ayah are you reading?
Ayah number 39.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my Lord may well give me something better than your garden and send thunderbolts on your garden from the sky so that it becomes a heap of barren dust.
Yeah.
Or its water may
sting. Since it's an argument of a believer, so we're not going in detail.
Hmm. Yeah. Just a reminder for our friends watching this series, alhamdulillah, is that this is not the tafsir of the Quran. The tafsir of the Quran you could find, there are lots of tafsirs written. This is a psychological perspective of us, the Muslims in the time of Dajjal, through the Quran, inshallah. Okay. So, or its water may sink so deep into the ground that you will never be able to reach it again. And his fruits were encompassed by ruin, so he began to turn his hands about in dismay over what he had spent on it while it had collapsed upon its trellises, and said, oh, I wish I had not associated with my Lord anyone. And there was for him no company to aid him other than Allah, nor could he defend himself.
Since, of course, this is something which the man has learned a lesson.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really hold any context to our session. So that's why we're just going through it, because
inshallah.
This is
ayah number 44. In that situation, the only protection is that of God, the true God. He gives the best rewards and the best outcome. And, okay, yeah. here it ends, and I guess a new story starts. No. It's number ayah number 45 now. And present to them the example of the life of this world is being like rain, which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingles with it, and then it becomes dry remnants, scattered by the winds, and Allah is ever over all things perfect in ability. Hmm. Wealth and children are but adornment of the worldly life, but the enduring good deeds are better to your Lord for reward and better for one's hope. One day we shall make the mountains move, and you will see the earth as an open plain. We shall gather all people together, leaving no one. Sahil, I would like your perspective on this moving of mountains, because I remember in one of our discussions, you did mention some of a different mechanism of why the mountains will move on a certain day.
The day of judgment?
Yeah. Like the scientific phenomena. Like one most common one is that there will be no pull of gravity. But then if there is no force of gravity, then even human beings will be flying.
Mm.
Yeah. But we'll be running. You know, we'll be on the ground. But yeah, it's the mountains which will be floating like the moths or the wool, as it's mentioned in the Quran somewhere else. I remember you did say something in some other session. You remember?
Yeah, but that's going to we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. But that's
off the topic.
Yeah, that's going to take us real off topic. But the real perspective is that the kind of wording Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has used in Surah Al Qariyah, and you know, whenever Allah Subhanahu wa Taala describes the very day of the biggest catastrophe, we'll have to pick out all of those words and see. And reverse engineer it to see how we can actually create a picture of this and what actually would be going on. But, you know, but the fact is that by that time it's going to be too late to do anything about anything. Yeah. So let's just not put that into this session.
Yeah. Okay. And they will be presented before your Lord in rows, and he will say, "You have certainly come to us just as we created you the first time, but you claimed that we would never make for you an appointment. The record of their deeds will be laid upon, and you will see the guilty dismayed at what they contain, saying, 'Woe to us! What a record this is! It does not leave any deed, small or large, unaccounted for.' They will find everything they ever did laid in front of them. Your Lord will not be unjust to anyone."
Yeah, one thing that we're missing out on is that, see, all of these are the ayahs of the day of judgment, post day of judgment. Dajjal at that time. You better understand that there is no prophecy about Dajjal's downfall. Dajjal is going to be killed at his peak.
Yeah.
So there is no way of us using these ayahs as an account for believer to say that, see, we told you this is not going to remain forever. And, you know, the sinking of the garden in the water and the water in the garden, and, you know, he won't be able to cultivate anything because the three ayahs before, that is the same thing that happened to that guy with the big garden. So,
but the world's still going to be like after the Dajjal is
killed. Yeah,
there's no one going to be.
Yeah, but there's no point of us talking about post Dajjal, because at that time Isa al-Islam is going to take care of the real sessions, not this session. So at the time of Dajjal, there will be, it doesn't seem as if people of Dajjal will have any regret. It doesn't seem as if that people of Dajjal will see the fall of Dajjal's traps and anything that, you know, the Dajjal will stay. The doings of Dajjal are not going to have any sort of side effects to the people of Dajjal.
Hmm.
He will be killed while he's the king. So if Dajjal was, you know, just
all his claims,
any of this claim, people, if I'm, let's assume Khuda na khasta, a believer of Dajjal, I'm going to I'll remain a believer of Dajjal because I will not find any flaw in whatever he was doing or saying.
Yeah.
Until, of course, Isa al-Islam comes and kills him.
Yeah.
Now that is a problem till the last second of Dajjal.
Yeah.
See, that's how complete a fitna he is. Yeah. He's not going to have the last day as the day of, you know, unveiling his fitnas and, you know, people coming to the real light and truth. It's never going to happen.
So the killing of Dajjal should mark the end of this fitna.
No. You have to understand, this is what I'm trying to get you at.
There'll be still people defending him?
Of course, he's the biggest king.
He was a just ruler. They
yes,
killed him.
And this terrorist comes in and, Al-Qaeda comes and kills him, or Taliban kill him, or whoever. I don't know what they're going to be calling, because this at that time, Dajjal is the most beloved person.
Wow.
Yeah, and Isa al-Islam just comes in from the heavens and just, puts all of that, that assumed Jannah, and then makes it useless for the people. So, or maybe, people will remain, keep all of those gifts of a Dajjal.
As souvenirs.
No, as gardens and whatever. And it'll come to light of Isa al-Islam. Yeah. And Isa al-Islam is going to make them utilize all of those things that Dajjal gave. Could be, I don't know, but this is that's not the point. The point is, till the last second, Dajjal is going to be a Dajjal. And it could be one of the biggest problems after Dajjal is gone, because most of the world is following him blindly. They're benefiting from whatever he gave them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this one guy comes in with 30,000 people, and then he comes in with his own mentor calling Jesus.
Yeah.
And then he says, I'm the real Jesus.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, our king is dead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Even now, we know that there are many tyrant rulers in this dunya. And there are so many people who are fighting them or against them. But at the same time,
there always is.
We have so much bigger population venerating them. And even if they are put into jails or exiled,
even Nazis were die-hard lovers of Hitler.
Yeah.
Nazis were proud of being Nazis. Even they were not like, two-faced hypocrites. Yeah. They were fully in the movement.
Yeah.
So it's something we better understand, that the biggest fight will be right after Dajjal is dead. This fitna is going to carry its fruits way, way more than the time of Dajjal.
Okay. Now moving on to ayah number 50. And mention when we said to angels, prostrate to Adam, and they prostrated except for Iblis. He was of the jinn and departed from the command of his Lord. Then will you take him and his descendants as allies other than me while they are your enemies? Wretched is it is for the wrongdoers as an exchange. Okay, I just want to make a point here, because a lot of Muslims believe that Iblis was an angel who turned into Iblis. Yeah, but here it mentions very clearly that he was among the jinn. Okay.
Yeah, but see, now this ayah has another key here.
Mm-hmm.
This ayah all of a sudden appears as a story of Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam and Iblis.
Mm.
This story is coming without any context of the whole so we should look into the fact that what kind of happenings were going on in detail at the time of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and why would Iblis become do whatever he did, and what has that got to do with all of this, all of what we're talking about? So it's quite a
because this ayah didn't come here by coincidence.
Yeah, of course not. So and it says wa is kulna, that means when we said to the angels, all of a sudden. Why is mean when? When we said to the angels. So it's like all of a sudden a new story with such a power is starting.
Yeah.
So we should look into it. I'm gonna connect it with the next ayah, and then I'm gonna tell you what the details is. So go on.
Okay. I did not make them witness to the creation of the heavens and the earth, or to the creation of themselves, and I would not have taken the misguiders as assistants.
So this could be one of those angles where the whole world will be believing against whatever the creation of Adam alayhi salam was. More like evolution and everything, more like you know, a new approach towards where the human beings came from, and a totally different spin on who created, you know, how the human being actually were created, and so on.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So Allah is saying, like, about the Iblis and his followers, that I did not make them witness to the creation of the heavens and the earth, or to the creation of themselves, and I would not have taken the misguided as assistants.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And warn of the day when he will say, call my partners, whom you claimed, and they will invoke them, but they will not respond to them, and we will put between them a valley of destruction.
Yeah, before we go to this, let me just give you a little detail of what I'm talking about in the last two ayahs. See, if somebody claims that, you know, this is how the process started, don't worry, I was there. You know what I'm saying? I did that. Or I'm the viceroy of Allah. Or I'm the first creation of Allah. You know, so on and so forth. Whatever, whoever gives whatever account. This ayah actually nullifies any and everything. You know what I'm saying? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any witness in the creation of the heavens. There was no one. When the first ever creation was created, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith says, Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go and visit my heaven, because heaven has been created. Go and visit hell. And there's a big hadith in Bukhari about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there is no living being that can actually come and say that, you know, this is how the whole thing started.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Be it making of Adam or whatever. Nobody can actually say that. So this is something which is very clearly being told in this ayah. The psychology is very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create any witness. Ma ashhadtum خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين. This is such a big claim which counters every other claim of any other person who thinks he knows the whole story of how everything was created.
Yeah.
You know, so this is why anyone who claims to be a prophet would not be able to say anything, because no prophet has ever claimed that, you know, this is how it was created.
Yeah.
No one who claims to be God can possibly say anything about how it started. See, when Darwin comes and says this is how it started, he's actually literally, this Darwinistic approach is literally a claim that, yeah, we are, you know, aware of how it started. This is a fact.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's their approach, yeah.
Yeah, that's their approach. And they never claim to be God. Assuming that, you know, if somebody claims to be God, and he said, you know what, this is how it started, and he just plays the whole movie in front of us.
Yeah.
You know, just to try and show us how he came into being, or, you know,
the creation.
Or the Jal. Of how it all ends at him, or maybe he's the one who started it. This is why these two ayahs become a little more relevant. Because this entry of the creation of Adam is a little too sudden.
Hmm.
It's not subtle at all.
Hmm.
So this is why I always get baffled as to, oh, why did these ayahs all of a sudden just appear? Because the last time this thing happened, when two ayahs suddenly appeared, there was the inshallah ayahs.
Yeah.
All of a sudden this happens here right now.
Yeah.
And we better understand of how come all of a sudden off topic ayah comes in and places itself right in the middle of a story.
Yeah. Okay. Ayah number 52.
Mm-hmm.
And warn of the day when he will say, no, I read it already. 53. And the criminals will see the fire. They will not find from it a way elsewhere.
Yeah, we covered that in the last one. Yeah.
And we have certainly diversified in this Quran for the people from every kind of example. But man has never been most of the anything prone to dispute. Abdul Halim says, in this Quran, we have presented every kind of description for people, but man is more contentious than any other creature.
That is the exact opposite of what Sahih International is saying. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, how does that mean? So, yeah, Abdul Halim is right on this account that we are going to dispute any and everything.
Yeah.
We just have it in us to just try and counter-argue everything. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, since there is no witness of how I did this, there is no way for you to know. There is nobody who is going to know anything about the creation, unless, of course, Allah tells him himself.
Now that guidance has come to them, what stops these people believing and asking forgiveness from their Lord before the fate of earlier peoples annihilates them or their torment confronts them?
Which ayah are you reading? I did
55.
Yeah, see, this is the difference of translations. Not even a word of this.
Okay, you have Abdul Halim open?
No, I have a totally different...
okay. Okay, I'll move to the ayah number 56 now.
No. Let me just see what...
Arabic?
Yeah, go on. That's next ayah.
56?
Yeah.
Okay. Abdul Halim. We only send messengers to bring good news and to deliver warning, yet the disbelievers seek to refute the truth with false arguments and make fun of my messages and warnings.
Yeah, so it's an attribute of every messenger. They do not claim any responsibility of any hidayah of anybody. They're just Bashiram or the Nazirans.
Yeah. Who could be more wrong than the person who is reminded of his Lord's messages and turns his back on them, ignoring what his hands are storing up for him in the hereafter? We have put covers over their hearts so they cannot understand the Quran, and we put heaviness in their ears. Although you call them to guidance, Prophet, they will never accept it.
So, every time we hear about the seal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the hearts, makes me wonder as to what's going to happen to the loved ones of the believers, because that'll be a black and white differential between people who believe in the Dajjal and don't believe in the Dajjal. Both of those parties will be actually claiming to be on the right path.
Yeah.
So much so that believers might just come into some doubt, but those people are never going to come into any doubt because they will have a guy performing miracles right in front of them.
I think it's
that's what
even Allah's now the case is the same with us. Like, it's Muslims who are always in doubt. This is right or this is wrong. But the other side, they are very sure, very confidently going on with their aims.
Yeah.
Okay. And we were still even arguing what to do. What should we do? Some say, do this, as a Muslim, do that.
Well, at least they're trying. I'm talking about people who are totally convinced that, you know, there is no such thing as Quran or Hadith or, you know, those are the people which Allah is saying we have placed over their hearts, a covering.
Yeah. And your Lord is the forgiving, full of mercy. If He were to impose blame upon them for what they earned, He would have hastened for them the punishment. Rather, for them is an appointment from which they will never find an escape. That is ayah number 58-59 now. Just like the former communities we destroyed for doing wrong, we set an appointed time for their destruction. Moses said to his servant, I will not rest until I reach the place where the two seas meet, even if it takes me years. I think the story of Musa and Khidr starts from here.
Yeah, that's a very certain story. Yeah, let's just stick to the last ayah in those cities.
Yeah.
وَتِلْقَ الْقُرَىٰ. This is something.
وَتِلْقَ الْقُرَىٰ أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا وَجَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا.
Yeah, لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ. لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا means an appointed time the cities will be destroyed.
Of destruction here. Yeah.
No matter what. So, we are going to start the story of Musa right after this. And we're not going to, actually we'll do it in the next session, of course. But the lesson for today's session is very clear that there are certain ways of us looking at the Dajjal. And the primary way is so black and white that I'm afraid that Dajjal is going to gray the hell out of everything And we think we're going to be actually thinking he's going to use blacks and whites, and that, you know, do not read the Quran. Quran is not the book of God. I come up with a new book, or, you know, I've reincarnated or restructured the whole message from all three books. That's not how it's going to work. He will be using all of those books separately for all of those followers of those very books. And this is why we need to really understand of how we should know what is the seal of those hearts. And also what kind of avenues the deception is going to come from in terms of our understanding of the philosophy. The story of Adam keeps haunting me, this ayah, when I think about at that time, of what kind of knowledge, what kind of arrogance would people have about, you know, of their belief as to how this whole source of creation and the end of the creation, and, you know, the hell and heaven concept will be polluted altogether. All of this is all hell and heaven, and you know, from the gardens to the, you know, to the next ayahs, of how people will be actually believing that they are not only inside heaven, but will be going to heaven even if this perishes at some level as well. Because even if it doesn't perish, they will know that they will perish. So they will be going towards heaven. So this is something which is a lesson in these two, in this 10, maybe we did more than 10
more
actually.
Than 10, yeah.
So we didn't go in detail because it was just a basic psychological way of us to create a awareness of what kind of psychological.
There's actually nothing more basic than these.
Yeah. I mean, I just want you to all understand that, there are so many things that, that are complicated and a little confusing in terms of understanding and constructing our psychology in terms of how it started, or what is ghaib, what is beyond ghaib, and so on and so forth. And all this time, we always undermine the fact that Dajjal could be using the most simplest things.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not even going to address any sort of complications. Why would he? Prophets never do that. You think he's going to come up with a new technique of how to become a prophet? No, people won't be able to do that because the perfect psychology of Dawah, it was used by the prophets. Why wouldn't he use that? That's the most effective psychology anyway. 90% of the world still believes in all the prophets.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he use the psychology of the prophets and hit us where it's assumed to be right, that it's a basic simple fact of the Quran. These ayahs is basic. You just said it. Understand how Dajjal might just be pulling off that basic card and addressing the simplicity of things rather than putting evolution into the spin, or, you know, science and astrophysical concepts to just try and train and impress and inspire people. No. It could be the basic ayahs of Iman, and, you know, he'll just be narrating all of those people just to soften the hearts and making sure most of the people are following him. Most people do not even know what complications are. Most people are simple people.
Yeah.
And when the ayah says most ulama and women will be following a Dajjal, you know, this just goes to show that, you know, he'll be using more of a dawah to the heart rather than the brains.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And simplicity opens the doors to the hearts. Yeah. So we should always think that Dajjal is going to have such an easy access to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, people don't even know what Surah Kahf is. They just know that, you know, there's one kalama and then there's just one prophet. Most of the people don't even bother. Those are the people who are not going to be convinced as to, oh my God, show us the miracles. The regular people don't ask for miracles. Regular people ask for appeal.
Yeah.
That's it. And that appeal, if it's there, they're going to believe you. So this is something, you know, which haunts me the most, because we all,
have so many spiritual healers in Muslims and in Christians.
Yes, still everywhere. That's the easiest way to
thousands and
millions and millions
of followers. Yeah.
Because
those guys don't do any miracles.
Yeah.
They're not even qualified to even recite their own books properly, you know.
Yeah.
But still they have millions of followers.
So Dajjal could be a regular Joe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A dervish.
Yeah.
And people, and we're looking for Stephen Hawking and Dawkins and, you know, Darwin and everything, and just see, oh, well, Dajjal is going to look at, he's going to come for the elite. No, maybe he's not going to take care about the elite. Maybe his movement is going to be just like the movement of any prophet, and he's going to gather up the poor and, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the best way of deception, coming through the actual core of the righteousness.
Yeah.
So, as the Prophet said, you know, in the time of fitan, even if you look into the fitan, you'll be catching that. The intensity of the fitan is going to be so much.
Wow.
Just researching about it is going to, you know, take you away and throw you right in the middle of the fitan. So, I just don't want anyone to think that the Dalai is going to be a physicist or a rocket scientist. He could be a totally illiterate man with the following of billions. And he will be like, Sahil, you're talking too complicated, man. Just sit down. Let's just believe in some simple things.
Yeah, it's and love.
In love, humanity. Care, and could be anything. Could be anything. And he'll be opening the Quran and, you know, telling me basics. And that video will be viral and billions, and people will be cursing me that, you know what? Why are you cursing a simpleton, a regular man with absolutely no harm, no negativity attached to this guy? Sahil, you're too aggressive, man.
Yeah.
You know? You're too complicated. You're talking about too much mathematics and science. And, you know, maybe people who are talking about these complicated stuff, just try and decode them, maybe they'll be termed as Dajjal in the time of Dajjal.
Yeah.
I mean, what better way of, you know, utilizing everything about the Hadith and the Quran. And, you know, he's the first guy who'll be spotting Dajjals, you know. Maybe he could be the first guy, like, I just discovered Dajjal. Look at this guy, how he's trying to twist the meaning of the Quran. And people will be like, yeah. So it's 99 times he does that. And people believe everything he has to say about the Quran or the Bible. And all of a sudden, he's going to twist the last thing. And people are never going to know.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll be just, you know, here discussing things and all of that. And, you know, just like we call the, you know, and we, I see a lot of videos about a lot of people that this alim is Illuminati and this guy is Freemason. So, you know, all of the believers will be tagged like that. And this guy will be simplifying.
This guy is in the payroll of Saudi.
Yeah, so on, you know. Could be. So, and by the time we realize, it'll be too late.
Yeah.
This is how regular people think.
Jazakallah khair, Sahil, inshallah.
Inshallah, we'll go. Yeah, the next session is the most important session.
Yeah.
Because the Musa story actually uncovers so much that I have a strong notion that the next story gives us the door from where he's going to come in and out. This is how important this next set of ayahs is. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this next session, in the next verses, literally describe the doorway towards two dimensions.
Yeah.
And
wow.
This is
amazing things are coming, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. We'll see you inshallah in the next episode.
Inshallah.